For ETV Radio, this is South Carolina Focus. I'm Russ McKinney. With little public attention, an era in state government came to a quiet ending this month with the abolishment of the powerful State Budget and Control Board. It's the latest chapter in government restructuring, that is, the state legislature slowly ceding some of its authority to the executive branch. For over a half a century, the Budget and Control Board approved all major state spending and borrowing projects, and it also controlled many of the state government's central administrative functions, like budgeting, auditing, IT, and human resources. The five-member board was comprised of the governor and the state treasurer and comptroller general from the executive branch, and two powerful members from the legislative branch, the chairman of the House and Senate Budget Committees. That involvement by the legislature in what many viewed as executive functions underscores what people mean when they call South Carolina a legislative state. State Senator Tom Davis of Beaufort says it was a bad government model.
You know, having control over the execution of the laws, and of course the legislature enacts the laws, and it elects the judges that interpret the laws. And so the Budget and Control Board was really an emblem of the legislative state at its finest.
South Carolina has been a legislative state from its earliest days. Historian Dr. Walter Edgar says lawmakers' wariness of a strong executive goes back to the days of the English monarch. As the state and state government began to grow following World War II, Edgar says the legislature created the Budget and Control Board in 1950 in an effort to keep the governor from assuming too much authority over state government.
Given the nature of the legislative state, it made things work pretty smoothly. I mean, let's just be blunt about it, particularly as government grew faster than South Carolina.
Through the 1960s and 70s, as many new state offices were created, the board grew in size and stature, and its five members became politically powerful. Dr. Fred Carter, who served as executive director of the board during the 1990s, says it filled a need, especially during those 6 months each year when the legislature wasn't in session.
You know, my constitutional friends would cringe at this, but by bringing together the executive and legislative branches around that table, at least the key decision makers in those two branches, you were able once a month to resolve many of the issues associated with state government without waiting for the session to roll around.
And Carter, who is now president of Francis Marion University in Florence, says the board was uniquely positioned to handle large state projects such as Hurricane Hugo recovery in 1989 and the massive State House renovation project in the 1990s. This month, a new Department of Administration reporting to the governor assumed most of the administrative duties of the board, thus strengthening the executive authority of the governor's office. As for the five members of the Budget and Control Board, they are the members of a new Fiscal Accountability Authority, which still has the final say on those large state spending and borrowing projects. The current target for those pushing restructuring is the State Department of Transportation. The two branches are in a tug of war over who will ultimately control the DOT and the hundreds of millions of dollars it spends each year. Again, historian Walter Edgar.
But we still are a legislative state. Don't kid yourself. Whether you're talking about the Budget and Control Board or the lack of real home rule, we hadn't changed who's really running the show since 1778.
With this South Carolina Focus, I'm Russ McKinney, ETV Radio, South Carolina Public Radio.